Well, I guess you got to come out of one of those appropriations meetings or some kind of deal to speak with us, and we appreciate you doing
we
that.
We were dealing with Article 3, which is education, and there's always questions about education. Everybody wants to put more money into it if they can and make sure that we all get our kids educated properly, and I think no one can disagree with that, just trying to divide the money up the best we can.
Sure. You know, I'd like to kind of get your thoughts. The Chief Justice of the Texas Supreme Court pretty much issued a call to arms in talking to the legislature yesterday. And it's an interesting situation because obviously you want to have an environment where kids can learn, and quite often troublemakers are put off on the side and they end up in the judiciary system or they end up in the penal system. Because of that, the Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Wallace Jefferson, said, you know, these are nonviolent offenders, and we're criminalizing our children by doing this. Have you got some thoughts as far as what the Chief Justice had to say about troublemakers and basically criminalizing nonviolence in the school system?
Well, I don't like the idea of criminalizing nonviolence. Matter of fact, There's another issue that I disagree with strongly too, and I can't help it because I was a kid too a long time ago, unfortunately. but I remember in school, you know, if some guy hits you, you got to hit him back.
Yep.
And I'm not quite. My daddy always told me don't start any fights, but don't let him whip you either. That was my goal at school, and I just think it's wrong that a kid who responds to somebody hitting him, then and his back is thrown in the same group. So that's criminalizing, I guess you'd say. They put them in that school for people that are in trouble all the time,
right,
on campus. And I think that brings on more of that activity. It encourages rather than discouraging it. I remember when I was in high school, and you probably remember the same sort of thing. I scared to death of Cheesy Cook, who was the principal.
Didn't want
to go down there.
Sure, right.
And I don't know that anybody is afraid of anybody anymore.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Now, one of the other things he mentioned is what he called it is a dark secret, that there are a whole lot of situations where disputes are actually taken care of without a lawyer. I mean, there are a lot of divorces out there, for instance, and middle-class Texans would know that, where a lawyer is not necessarily involved very much, and there's not a big cost there. And he believes that there should be some cost-cutting as well when it comes to those offenders who do deserve to be in the system. And has there been anything that you've seen as far as legislative moves are concerned, or are you basically in favor of some of the things that the Chief Justice had to say yesterday?
I had a lot of positive feelings about what he said. I just don't know whether there's been any legislation introduced to take care of those situations. I know as a businessman that a lot of times you might have, I guess you say, you might have been damaged, but you look at the cost of going to court and you say, mm-hmm, it's not worth, mm-hmm, going to court, and mm-hmm, you make on a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different decision the bigger the company is, because they have full-time lawyers. And they're big corporations, us guys that are down on the bottom, we don't, and mm-hmm, we're all struggling trying to make a living anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I guess you'd say, the natural way things are.
Sure.
But I do have some empathy for people who don't have the financial wherewithal to get good representation.
John Rainey joining us this morning from Austin. Anything within your committee assignments here in the last week of note?
Well, I know that the teachers, retired teachers particularly, are very interested in the state's contribution to the teacher retirement fund, and that's been increased by 2 percentage points, 0.2%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I recall, about $150 million, but I may be wrong. That's going to be increased anyway.
Okay.
And then the higher education funding is probably going to be increased by 3% in the formula. So that's good for A&M, and there's probably going to be some increase in the grants program for eligible students. So we're talking probably somewhere around $150 million. So those are all positive things, I think. People want to spend a lot of money, but they got to remember that we've had to catch up from what was kicked down the road last session, and they did not have any opportunity to do anything but kick it down the road. But we have a lot of money that's going into this the current biennium and being appropriated, so we don't have all the money that we need for the new biennium that we're looking at. So we just got to catch up, and that's all there is to it. It's kind of like you and your business. If you have a down year, you got to do everything you can to catch up, and maybe the next year you get to get a little better growth.
Certainly. Now, the I know over on the other side, the Senate Finance Committee scheduled to finish up their work on the budget over on their side. They're considering a pay raise in there, and I've heard anywhere from 1-3% for state workers. What's happening over on the House side for that?
You know, I've heard that there. I haven't seen anything happen for state workers yet in our committee, but I suspect there will be some at some point. That's all been put down to when the full committee is going to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to also depend on what the comptroller's revenue estimate is.
Certainly. Well, and we saw the sales tax numbers today for Bryan College Station. They were up, and that's the direction we want them, that's for sure.
You bet. We sure do.